What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come?
Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
How awkward can awkward questions be? This question came to me when in the last few weeks I was twice asked by different people a particular question. The question was, can we allow practicing Roman Catholics to worship with us? The answer is both straight and brief. Yes. But perhaps I should have asked for clarification about the question, and that got me thinking about how awkward questions might be. Hello, my name is George Samiatz. I'm an ELC pastor from Australia, serving in East Anglia at Ascension Brandon in Suffolk and covering the vacancies in Cambridge and Coventry. If you'd like to learn more about Lutheran Radio UK or the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, then go to the websites lutheran.co.uk or lutheranradio.co.uk. Also, Lutheran Radio UK has its new app available for download, so you can hear Lutheran Radio UK anywhere. I hope you enjoy the program. How awkward can awkward questions be? I guess they can be pretty awkward. To return to the question that started this for me, can we allow practicing Roman Catholics to worship with us? At face value, this question seems to be asking, can Roman Catholics come and sit in a Lutheran church and attend a worship service? The answer, as I mentioned before, is straight and brief. Yes. Of course we would. Our churches are open to anyone to come and sit and listen to God's word, to meet people, to pray, to receive a blessing. It doesn't matter whether you are a believer or an atheist or a believer from another religion or another Christian denomination, such as Roman Catholic, or a group regarded as a sect or a cult, come and worship with us at your local Lutheran church. God desires all people to come to the knowledge of the truth, that is, Jesus Christ, and the salvation achieved by him for all people. No one was excluded by Jesus' death on the cross. When Jesus paid for the sins of the world, he didn't miss anyone out. This is good news we want the world to hear, and hopefully that is heard very clearly in worship. So come, one and all. But what if this question had the meaning of, can we allow a practicing Roman Catholic, and by that we can hear another word, believing, that is, a person who believes in the Christian faith as taught and practiced by the Roman Catholic Church, to worship with us, when worship now means doing the things that believing and practicing Lutherans do? What if the real question is, can Roman Catholics commune with Lutherans? That involves worship and more. Now the straight and brief answer begins, no, as we work out what is actually going on. For a full answer, you might like to check out the straight answer to the question, why can't I commune in your church? It's on the podcasts. In this program, I largely take questions at face value. That is, I react to the words. That's the starting point. Sometimes, you might recall the question I was sent about Christians and yoga. I am given a context that helps me understand the question further, but as with all verbal communication, we must use and return to words. Now, we also know that words may be used to misdirect or hide the real meaning. In this program, I take questions as genuine, people really wanting to know the answer to the question asked. I have little way of knowing that a question might be disingenuous or sarcastic or even malicious in some way. We can sense this better in relationships over time, face to face with people. But questions can be all sorts of things and can be heard differently from the speaker's intention. Think of the first questions ever asked. In Genesis 3, which presents us with how our relationship with God was broken, ruined, marred, wrecked, killed by us, we hear the first two questions. Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And, where are you? In ways not meant by the speaker. Eve heard the tempter's question as more innocuous and factual, but there was a deadly agenda behind it. Adam heard God's presence, and ashamed, fled from God, hid, as if he could, and heard God in fear, whereas God is love, and sought and called out to Adam in love. Yes, we might not hear the question right at all. I'm sure that is one of the reasons James advised Christians, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Another reason a question might be awkward is because it is offensive in some way. If the speaker genuinely didn't know that the Roman Catholic Church is a Christian denomination, we might understand the question. However, if we know that the speaker knew that the Roman Catholic Church is a Christian denomination and that our Lutheran churches are open to all, then we can wonder at the agenda behind the question, because it seems impossible to ask it genuinely, and that leaves us with guessing another reason why. And to give offence can be a reason. Giving offence and being offended is on the social agenda for the beginning of 2015. The events in Paris and the cartoons of the magazine Charlie Hebdo will reverberate for a long time as people discuss the relationship between free speech or free expression and offence, and the relationship between the two. The Bible recognises that things can be offensive. Things done or said, or not done, whose effects generate hurt, upset, crosses a line, perhaps regarding a law or religion or decency. Jesus caused offence in his hometown of Nazareth, but also described those who were not offended by him as blessed. Jesus' words caused offence to the Pharisees at times. His crucifixion was scandalous in terms of what it said about him, a criminal, a blasphemer, even cursed by God. And yet his followers see in his death the wisdom and the power of God, and that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords precisely on the cross. Offence can and does occur when truth challenges corruption or oppression. How far one seeks to be offensive by attacking or is offensive by defending is contextual, and Christians have the general guideline not to cause offence to others, except when the gospel and particularly the cross is at stake, and then one must maintain the truth. We can be offensive in our words and deeds, but generally that doesn't build good relationships. Rather, Christians are reminded to live peacefully as far as it is possible with those around them, so that the only thing offensive is the stumbling block, the scandal of the cross of Jesus, that his sacrificial death brings forgiveness, mercy, freedom, and life with God, and that we are saved by God's grace and not our works, because deep down we all like to boast about something. As Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And Peter, in his first letter, describes Jesus as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence. Awkward questions can be awkward for lots of reasons. The goal of the one trying to answer is to answer the right question, to communicate with the inquirer, so that he or she knows that they've been heard, and hopefully the answer addresses what is really being asked. For all who answer questions, indeed for all who speak, the Bible gives much advice about the use of the tongue, how hard to control. But I have found, and daily seek to practice, with varying degrees of success, what Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians, that we are to speak the truth in love, the ultimate goal of which is to know the full embodiment of truth and love, Jesus Christ. I look forward to receiving more questions, and make them as awkward as you wish, and I'll do my best to speak the truth in love. God bless. Goodbye.